Welcome to Beacon of Light, a show that examines and explores the unexplained and the curious. Join Marcus Leder and Jennifer Fallah on a journey of discovery as they shed some light on a variety of spiritual, paranormal, and psychological topics. Hello and welcome to another episode of Beacon of Light Radio. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Jennifer Fallah. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
And tonight, Jennifer actually suggested this topic, and we're going to be talking about walk-ins. And some people may have heard of the term walk-in. It's a relatively new term, but the principle is as ancient as history. It goes back thousands of years in some of the ancient transcripts and different archaeological records. But what a walk-in is where I don't know of any negative aspects of it. The only ones I've ever heard of occur for positive reasons, and it's a sharing beneficial. It's called a symbiotic process, where the actual soul of one person who is not incarnated in a physical body will basically take up residence in the body of someone who is incarnated, and their soul leaves and it goes on, you know, it continues on in whatever its path is. And this is done for a variety of reasons, and there's really not a whole lot known about those reasons. There's a lot of speculation, but generally it's done due to some type of pre-arranged agreement long before either your soul involved incarnates into this world. They will make an agreement that at a certain point they will basically switch. It's like sharing a vehicle. It's a lot like you can think of the human body as a car. And you use it for a while, and then someone else gets in it and, you know, drives it for the, you know, until the car breaks down. And this is done for reasons that are unique. It's not a process that, you know, where there's any set of rules involved in it, other than one entity will take over where the one that was incarnated, you know, left off. And, you know, to give you an example of that, I know of one case of a man in England. This happened to him in modern times. And I actually don't remember his name before the walk-in took place. But this man was very distraught. He was depressed. He wasn't happy with his life. He became suicidal, and he apparently on another level. He made an agreement with a more advanced soul, and the soul, you know, the purpose was to come into the physical world and to teach, to be a teacher, to help mankind. And so there was some kind of agreement made, and the man that was distraught actually tried to drown himself in the ocean. And this all happened, I believe, back in the 1930s or 40s. And just at the point of him dying, the other more advanced soul stepped in, and the body recovered, and he went on to become a very prolific writer and teacher. But he was teaching a lot of the more Tibetan mysticism. He was teaching about the other worlds, teaching about things like reincarnation and all that. His name, you know, once the other man left, his name became Tuesday Lobsang Rampa, and that was his name in a previous life. He was a Tibetan monk, and he's, you know, the man that died really wasn't very good at writing. He wasn't extremely educated, but after the walk-in took place, this man became very prolific in writing, and he was telling stories of things that happened in the past, some things, you know, in the 19th century, and then it just, you know, he came at a time, it was in the 1960s when he came into popularity. And he opened a lot of people's eyes to other possibilities, and started, you know, teaching, you know, the positive aspects of spirituality. And that's apparently what the reason was, is that he came into that body in order to do constructive and positive things in the world. And you know, so that's one case that I know of.
That's fascinating. You know, it's tripping me out because of the information that I got, because I know very little about this, and it was brought to my attention over the past, you know, I don't know, few months, by more than one person. And so I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, is that possible? Is it really, really possible? I mean, could that really be? And how does that work? I mean, when do they come in, and do, what about memories, and what if they've got a family and stuff, you know? And, yeah. And then I started thinking about, and the information I got in the meditation that I did makes sense. It kind of explains that. It's kind of hard to be real general about how it works because every situation is so individual.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a rare thing. And, you know, there's different points of when they can come in. But, you know, I was wondering, you know, how does that work with their life? You know, how do they suddenly not love everybody they loved before? Or do they make all these changes? I mean, what happens, you know? And,
yeah.
And at what point do they come in and for why? And so it's just so fascinating. I thought we should do a show on it. And that's really interesting that, you know, in talking to you, of course, Mark is the human. Human encyclopedia on all spiritual paranormal already knew about it.
Hey, I'm old. I've been around.
So you said you knew of another case.
Yeah. Too. And everybody really knows of it. It's they just, most people don't realize it. And the other case, the most famous, is the actual process of when the Dalai Lama is born and dies. The Dalai Lama is an entity, a spirit, you know, a great teacher that continues on. And when the Dalai Lama's body dies, the incarnation takes place instantly. The reincarnation takes place instantly, except it's not in the form, although I can't, you know, Dalai Lama's been around a long time. I can't say about centuries past, but it's not like the normal reincarnation process where a baby's born and all that. The spirit of the Dalai Lama enters usually a child or a young man, and it's an instantaneous thing. It's what we were talking about, is a walk-in. That's where the actual soul, and it's so complex, the reasons and the process. It's you know, for example, you know, if the Dalai Lama is you know, re-enters a five-year-old child, you wonder, well, where's that child spirit? Where, you know, or yeah, is it suppressed in there or what? But it doesn't. It's a lot of times the actual child, its purpose for this particular reincarnation is just to be a vessel. And then it returns. A lot of times they know each other. They're old friends. And this, from what I understand, is not, you know, I'm mentioning one person by name, but it's a process that some of the more advanced souls actually practice when there's a reason. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, when a new Dalai Lama, you know, comes into existence, it's, they have, even if they're a child, they have a great deal of knowledge. And I don't know if they have total recall or if that takes time to, you know, I haven't actually researched that that much, but that's what a walk-in is. And, you know, I've heard that it happens. It's something it's not accidental. This is something that's very well planned and requires great, you know, like a, you know, angelic force or great masters, you know, ascended masters, people who have been human, have studied and practiced for centuries, and, you know, through reincarnation they get better and better and better, or they've had the help of the divine spirit too. It's very complex. And
so I'm wondering if the 5-year-old child, before they come here, is like, okay, well, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go through the younger years because you can't do much then.
Yeah.
And I'll be in that body for the younger years, and then one night I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to step aside, and you're going to come in. And yeah, I'm wondering if it's all planned.
Yeah, from what I understand, it, you know, it is a planned process, and the child may not know that when they're living their life, when they're conscious and all that. They may not be aware of it, but once they leave the body, they become full, they regain full awareness again. And, you know, I've heard this from different sources. These are some of the findings that the research team at the Monroe Institute, and, you know, Bob Monroe, and he's experienced and talked to people who have done this. It's considered a permanent, when it happens, it's a permanent situation. You know, it's not like you share for a little while and you leave. That type of situation is more what we call possession, which we're not going to talk too much about that. It's not the same as a walk-in, but even Bob Monroe accidentally walked into another entity and another person, and he didn't have the memories of that person when that happened. But, you know, he had a wife and, you know, and kids, and he didn't stay very long. It was an accidental thing. It happened a couple of times, though. And what happened to the person that was in the body at the time is they just, like, went to sleep. Their consciousness level dropped way down, below Delta probably. And they went into, like, a deep sleep while, you know, Robert was in control of the body and trying to figure out how to get it out of it.
Okay, so he was in for, like, a matter of
just a matter of minutes. I think one time it was a matter of hours, but and it was not something he was trying to do. It was just an accident. But that's you know, that's a considered a possession when the other soul doesn't leave. If you get a negative entity and they do that, that's what you see in the movies and all that. But that's actually fairly rare.
Well, as far as the 5-year-old child and the Dalai Lama, I would say, just from what I know of the divine, nothing that the divine does is forced. And so both parties would have to be in agreement.
Yeah.
Anything that would be forced would be of dark nature. You know, Bob Monroe is not of dark nature, but I'm sure that he just kind of like, whoops, what happened? You know, that's kind
of the curiosity thing. Yeah.
You know, but I got information stating that I think it on full-time walk-ins and part-time, and on the part-time there was some information about cell memory, that your memories are not only recorded by your soul but also your physical vehicle. So when going into that physical vehicle, the one that's coming in, you know, the one goes out, the other comes in. They both know about it. They're in agreement. But those memories, even the feelings, even feelings of love, are accessed by the soul that enters. They're recorded in the brain, they're recorded in the body, they're recorded in the energy field. You know, the soul takes... it gets kind of complicated, but the soul actually leaves, okay? And the other soul comes in, and immediately this soul is so advanced, it reads all this information like a download.
Yeah.
That they continue on, but they continue on. They're not really aware of it. They just have this overwhelming need, this overwhelming feeling that they are now changed.
Yeah.
They are a completely different person. They'll start telling people, I'm not who I used to be. I'm a completely different person. Their life changes in such a way. They move off in a different direction. They will feel the love for people, but like sometimes in romantic relationships, like marriages and things like that, they'll have love for this person. They'll have the memories of that person, but the magic is kind of gone, you know. Yeah. And a lot of times their purpose has changed so much and everything, and their purpose there, people end up breaking up.
Yeah.
Because they either they came to be with another person, you know. So it's very complicated. It's very specific to, you know, and as individual as each person is individual, and is each situation is individual. And I was told a lot more about it, but I want to share that with you after the break. But it's fascinating. The whole thing is fascinating because the more and more I do this show and we do these meditations and we talk about topics, the more I'm convinced there aren't a lot of can'ts in the universe. There's a whole lot of cans. Okay. There's a whole lot of possibilities, and you know, there's a lot more going on in this world than we could even dream of. And it made me think about near-death experiences and people who go into comas and people who've had going to car accidents and they're in the hospital for a few days and they come out and they're completely changed. You know, it makes, I'm thinking, okay, how rare is this really?
Yeah. You know, it might not be as, go ahead.
I was told that it's always a special request. It's always a special request that's made on the other side before you come, or excuse me, for those who are watching and helping you, it's like, okay, this isn't where we need somebody in there now.
Yeah,
we need somebody to help this person with their purpose.
Because we can easily, we're humans, and we're swayed by a lot of emotions and different situations in life, and we can easily drift off of the path because we all have a set of energetic blueprints that actually are designed and gone over by yourself before you're born. And then there's usually other, it can be angels, it can be other people that you've incarnated with in the past that will help you go over it and plan, say, yeah, at this point I'm going to come in your life, and we're going to, you know, to meet and do something. And, you know, there's a lot of different paths that, you know, will take you there. It's not just one. And if you get off your path, if you stray, that's sometimes when, you know, spirit will intervene and they'll throw something in your path to say, you know, to maybe to wake you up or to change your course back to where you're supposed to be going. And it can be a person, it can be, you know, a situation. And, you know, and so those, it's all on an energetic process, an energetic level. The thing they call cell memory, for example, that's even beyond the cell. That's down into the DNA. And it involves an area, you know, of energetics, of energy that flows back and forth and is never destroyed. That's why someone, like you were saying, can come into a body that's not theirs, you know, in a case of a walk-in, and they can access the memories and the feelings, but the emotions, when it comes to things like love, is not necessarily just physical. It's not part of the physical world. It's part of the higher realms. That's, you know, the vibration that love exists on. And so you may not feel it. Just because you're in the body, you may not feel it. And that can cause it, you know, people to drift apart, you know, you still, like you said, you still have love, but it's not going to be the same. It's like if you think of a boyfriend you had 10 years ago, you know, you might have loved him at the time, but you no longer do. And mm-hmm. it's hard to capture that feeling. You know you did, but to think of that feeling, you know, you can't, because it goes, you know, other directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
so that's interesting that they would be able to access all the memories and the feelings and the knowledge stored in a vehicle. I mean, say this person has to function at work, they have to pay the house payment, they have to continue on. You know, you can't just walk in and not know anything. And the soul that is waiting to come in would have to have played close attention to their life, or gone and in some sort of way watched every moment of their life to learn all of this, you know?
Yeah, it's believed to be a process where the memory is stored in every strand of DNA. And, you know, it's hard to think of a lifetime of experience in a strand of DNA, but when we think about the computers, they're getting more and, you know, they're getting smaller and smaller. And so you can take, for example, just a hair clipping and access everything that person has experienced or gone through. It's called holographic memory. And of course, science doesn't have any way to do that with a machine right now. But that's what people do who are sensitive. They can psychically get in there, and it's called psychometry. When you hold an object or you touch something that someone, you know, had, or their hair, you can basically connect and access all that information.
Oh, that's cool. That's totally cool. Well, I went and I met with the council this time. For all those who are new listeners, I meet with a group of archangels. There's about 12 of them. And I just call them the council because it's easier than naming each one off. And because this was a topic that was, to me, in my mind, very complicated, and I didn't know very much about it at all. And so I got quite a bit of information. I'm going to kind of try and tell a story for each one, just so, because it's very complicated, and that's how I make things simple. You know, so I'm going to try and tell a little story.
Just
so story time. So I'm just going to try and tell a story to make it simple, and so everybody can understand. So stick around for story time. We'll be back right after this break.
Meet me after dark again, and I'll hold you. I am nothing more than to see you there.
Do you have children who suffer from night terrors or reoccurring nightmares? Have you ever wished there was a way to fight these problems from within? The Wishflower Field series of children's novels is changing the way we empower children by planting seeds of hope, light, and inner strength through fanciful fiction. Jennifer Fala has found a way to speak to children that helps them use their inner light to conquer their fears, believe in themselves, and move forward with a positive attitude. This series is a pioneer that rises above the sea of negative children's fiction to stand alone in a crossover category best described as positive, empowering fiction. Choose a series for your children that not only entertains, but nourishes the spirit. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today.
Visit our website, beaconoflightradio.org, to hear shows that you missed on the archive page, find links to our Facebook page, and to schedule a reading. We are now offering meditation reading services to the public, just like we perform on the show. If you are in need of guidance from angels or spirit, or have a negative entity lurking around, schedule a service with Jennifer at www.beaconoflightradio.org.
Welcome back to Beacon of Light. I'm here with Marcus Leader. Tonight we're talking about walk-ins. And if you've never heard of that, a walk-in, as we explained at the beginning of the show, Marcus had some very interesting information about a couple cases is where a soul, right? Actually, we got information tonight on two kinds. It's where a soul makes like a pact with another soul that I know you're supposed to go incarnate and have this life. You have this whole life planned out, and this. Can I go instead? Can I go in your place because there's somebody I'd like to meet up with who needs me at this point in their life, at some point in their life. And if both souls are in agreement and the special request is granted, then that soul will take the other's place. And that would be a full-time walk-in. Part-time walk-in would be somebody who has made a divine pact with someone else that, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to spend a certain amount of time in this body. But I don't want, I have to go after that, you know, or someone says, can you spend like half the time and I can have the rest because there's something, you know, that we've planned this important task for this person and we need this higher advanced entity to do it. So like, so let's say guy's walking down the street, falls down, has a heart attack, goes to the hospital, is out for a certain point of time, maybe possibly loses his pulse, wakes up, he's a changed man, still has the memories, knows his family, has all the memories of his life, but somehow he's different. Somehow he's smarter. Somehow he has some divine purpose in his mind and moves forward in that direction. Tonight we're talking about divine walk-ins. You know, I'm sure there are some negative ones. Angels didn't want to talk about that. They kind of like... didn't want to talk about that. I said, They did tell me, I'm sure, because anybody says walk in and they think possession, and that's not what we're talking about here. Possession would be two souls housed in the same.
Yeah, and that's I think a lot of people, when they hear the term, that's what they're thinking. And, you know, when I first heard about this, it was a long time ago, but when I first learned about it, I didn't fully understand it, and the concept kind of scared me because I'm thinking, you know, nobody wants, you know, to die or just to be pushed out of your body, but that's not how it happens. And the more I came to understand it, you know, the less I was concerned about it. But, in a possession, you know, some entity, whether they can be actually even good, just not realizing what they're doing, like what Bob Monroe did, and they... they basically slam into the body and take, you know, control of it for a short period of time. Negative entities probably can do that, but there's never a walk-in I've ever heard that was a dark entity came into a normal person or a light entity. They, the dark one never just comes in to take over, because that's destructive. And a walk-in process is a divine process. It's not something man-made, and it's not something made, by any of the darker or lower frequency entities. And yeah. It's used for constructive purposes. So I've never heard of a dark one.
Yeah, and if we've learned anything from all these meditations, all this communication with the other side and with angels and researching divine concepts, and you cannot interfere with someone's will. You cannot. The dark will try. They want to interfere with everybody's will. But when we're talking about divine things, everyone has to be in agreement. Nothing is forced. So don't be afraid. Oh my gosh, I'm going to fall asleep and somebody else is going to jump in. No, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. This is actually rare. I don't know how rare, really. I get as much information on the topic as I can in meditation, but you can't, they only give you so much at a time. So I'm sure if I spent more time on this, I would find more information. But for now, I brought back some basic information on it, and I wouldn't worry about anybody trying to get into your body.
No.
The only thing they told me about negative, I said, well, now what about negative walk-ins? I mean, can they do that? And they were very stern with me about this, and so I said, okay, yes, sir. When they do that, you listen. They said negative entities do not enter protected divine vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's what
that makes sense.
And they said they can enter vehicles that are open to the dark, unprotected, or were previously occupied by a dark entity. So the dark has their own, they can have one leave and have another come in if they want to. That's their deal. We're not talking about that today. Today we're talking about, it actually is a most beautiful. I mean, it really is. If we could look at every individual situation, when possibly an advanced being or an angel has said, you know what, I'm needed. They need me. Can I come in? Will you let me come in and help this person? So. Let's talk about full-time walk-in. And I didn't expect that there would be two different kinds. And I'm sure there's more, But for this, show, I just got two. They said it's always a special request, which, it has to be in agreement on both sides. And it has to be granted by God, pretty much. It's a very complicated thing to do. Talk about organizing schedules. It's not that you're organizing the schedule of the person who is who had planned the life and the one that wants to take their place. That life that they plan interacts with every person that comes in contact with that person in some way, shape, or form. The marriages they have, the relationships they have, the children they have, the jobs that they have, the friends that they have. Everything that they had planned to do in that life is crucial to other people. So, the way that works is, let's say, okay. Let's say that you've got someone who's living here on Earth and has some kind of divine purpose. They're not having a good time. They're not doing too well. Or they possibly have a soulmate or a kindred spirit that they need. I mean, and don't get all romantic with this. Don't start asking for your soulmate to come. You know, probably not going to happen. Don't get all crazy on me.
No, it's got to be justified.
Yeah, let's just say, so we got this girl. Let's say that. We got this girl, and she's not having a good time. She's really trying. She's got this divine purpose, and she's, you know, she just needs that support. She needs that strong support to get this important job done, and she's not doing well. So, that soulmate or that angel or that loved one or whatever is watching. And, you know, when we get into time periods, this is where this gets really confusing, so I'm going to try and make this really simple. So let's just say, for the story's sake, that this soul's watching. And this person needs them. Let's say that this woman was destined to be with someone else, and that someone else is a human soul who planned to have their life and to be with her at some point in her life. He is destined to come here and have children and get married and go to college and do all the things that people do. And so let's say he gets a divorce and all this stuff happens. I start to get confused. Okay, I'm just going to try to stay on track here. So anyway, the soul's watching, and they're like, we got to come in. This man who's destined to be with her is not going to help her with this purpose. It's only going to destroy her, because what she has destined to happen with this man is going to be devastating to her. She's not going to accomplish what she came there to do. We have to intervene. So the soul, just to let you know, souls can go back, angels, souls, anybody can go back into time to the exact time period before that soul of that guy was going to enter that body, and can say with him, hey, listen, you know, I've seen what's happened, going to happen. This isn't going to work. I know you've planned this life. I know you've got all these people that you need to interact with. Let me go instead. I will do everything that you plan to do. But when you meet up with this woman at however years old it is, I need to be the one who's there. Will you let me do this? So they go to God and they get special permission. And then the soul says, well, yeah, you know, as long as you're going to do everything I need to do, the soul that stepped aside and said, okay, I'll let you go instead, still gets the benefit of all those lessons learned, still gets the benefit of time being there. He's absorbing this information and this knowledge and this, you know, and evolving too. He just gets a free ride, pretty much. He's not in the body. He's back at home and saying, okay, well, I planned that whole life, but he's going to do it for me. I get a day off.
Yep.
So this highly advanced soul, angel, or spirit goes instead. And at the time before he's supposed to meet this woman, he goes through all these changes. All of a sudden, everything starts falling apart, and life just is just terrible. Just to understand, because the time is coming when he is starting to remember who he is and why he is there, and that everything needs to change in order to go and be with this person so that they can do their divine purpose and everybody can live a happy life. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you see, it's complicated, but there is a reason for it, and it actually is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. The amount of love involved in it.
Yeah, and like I say, it's the process, the whole principle behind it is a divine mechanism. It's not something that humans sat here and figured out. It's something that, you know, comes from the highest levels, from God, and there's reasons for it, and we can't begin to comprehend the reasons. But it's, and a lot of people, you know, hear a story like that, and then they feel sorry for the soul that left, you know, like they got shortchanged. But it's not that way. It's natural for us to think that way or in those terms, because we don't see the whole picture. We see the human side of our spirituality, of our existence. Actually, in reality, you know, this is a classroom. This, you know, the physical world is where a soul comes to learn different things and to evolve to become, you know, better. But in essence, this is when you're in a physical body, you're in a timeout. And it's a timeout where you have to learn and everything, but it's not a bad thing to leave that body. That's actually the good part, is when you leave and you gain full awareness, full consciousness again, and you have all the, you know, the your playground and your abilities and your thoughts and everything become magnified, and it's a good thing, put it that way, when you die. And mm-hmm. people don't think of that. You know, that person got shortchanged. You know, they only lived 5 years, they only lived 20 or 30 years, and then they're gone because this other person came in. But that's not the way it is. It's if you think of being a human as a time out, a spiritual time out, then it's not really as bad as people think it is.
Mm-hmm. And all the souls have to be in agreement. If there was any, like, from the guy that stepped aside and let the highly advanced soul go in, if he had any feelings of, no, I was really looking forward to that, or, you know, no, I want to go, some other kind of arrangement would have to have been made with somebody else. But because he said, yes, I understand, and yes, go ahead, it happened. Now, we also have... before we run out of time, we have part-time walk-ins. And the information I got on that, there's also a special request granted by God. So if one soul is done and scheduled to go, but another would like to come for the benefit of others, one soul exits and another enters the vehicle. The soul who enters remembers much, even feelings, but sometimes feelings are muted. The memory housed in the body is also housed in the soul. It's copied onto the body and read by the entering soul. So, changes are evident, though. Changes are evident by people around this person. So let's say you know, Bob's walking down the street. Bob's not the greatest person. You know, he hasn't been doing so well. You know, he's walking down the street, drops to the ground and has a heart attack. Okay. So Bob goes in the hospital, loses consciousness, possibly a pulse for a little bit. Bob had planned with another soul. Bob only had a little bit to learn, first of all, on this trip. And he only had a few experiences that he wanted to experience, so he didn't want to stay long. But the people around Bob need him, for one. I mean, let's say Bob and his daughter have a divine purpose, but Bob, the soul that's in Bob, really isn't capable of that. So we're going to send in another to help this girl, or to and Bob do this together. Okay, so Bob's in the hospital, he has a heart attack, he's gone for a couple of seconds, and the other soul enters. That soul now reads the blueprint of Bob, all of Bob's memories, Bob's feelings, Bob's plan in life, the divine purpose and plan, and continues on. Regains consciousness.
It's like a crash course in being Bob.
Yeah, it's like an instant download. Yeah. There might be a little, I don't know, it was probably interesting if you ever knew if they could ever find out when this happens and like document how Bob is different when Bob wakes up. But, you know, there's lots of stories out there of people waking up and they're just different. They go home and people just don't feel, you know, you're just different, or you're nicer, or you're better, you know, he was so much, you know, everything changed after the heart attack, or something like that, you know. And
yeah, that's an ideal situation as a near-death experience for a walk-in to happen. And there's been some cases when it's been extraordinary changes. You know, the people come back geniuses, or music, you know, they couldn't play a musical instrument in their life, all of a sudden they can play the piano. So there's, you know, there can be dramatic changes too, but it's, you know, there's been studies done on near-death experiences and how people have changed, and it makes me wonder. you know, if it's mm-hmm. a walk-in or not.
Mm-hmm. People find that they may find that they have different tastes, you know, because yeah. you cannot completely conform to a blueprint. You are who you are. Yeah. So, I mean, you things might change. You might have different tastes, and people will be like, well, you never liked that before. Well, I like it now.
Yeah.
You know, or you would never deal react to that way before, you know. So it's very interesting, and, you know, it's beautiful because Bob was probably just like, you know what, I'm done. I'm just done. I want to go, you know, and it was agreed and it was planned. And sometimes, you know, plans can be made along the way, and, you know, God and us as divine spirits, we are so diverse, and there, you can very well just say, okay, all right, this is what needs to be happening now. We're going to go back in time. We're going to make it happen. We're going to go talk to that person, blah, 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 blah. You know, because time is not linear. We know that. And that's when it starts to get really complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, you can travel through time as long as you're not on Earth.
That's what it started boggling my mind when I was thinking about this, because I'm like, okay, so the guy that went in, did he go in at birth, or, you know, and how did they do that? Was he already here when the decision was made for this girl? You know, it gets confusing, but let's just know at this point in time that it is possible. And I hope that we get more information on this in the future, but that's what we got at this point in time. Thank you so much, Marcus, for helping me out with this topic and being here with me once again this week. I really enjoy our shows. I'd like everybody to know that I now have a Facebook group where you can get a free one question reading from me. It is called Free Psychic Readings, Beacon of Light. Come join us. We talk about all kinds of stuff like this. We're starting a book club, a spiritual and self-help book club each month. It's all kinds of fun. So find us on Facebook, Free Psychic Readings, Beacon of Light, and come like our Beacon of Light page on Facebook to keep up with what we're doing and what we're researching. Marcus, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay, great. Well, I will see you back here same time next week with a new topic. Okay, good night.
All right, good night. Thank you for joining us this week, and remember to tune in to Beacon of Light as we explore new topics every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Jackalope Radio Network.